This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Changes could be on the horizon for workers with disabilities as the state and various organizations wait for new rules at certain work sites. Riverfront Incorporated is one of the many Wisconsin organizations that receives federal and state funding to help employ workers with disabilities. Most workers receive job training and are placed within businesses in the community, but there are some workers with severe disabilities that are employed at Riverfront's workshops. At the La Crosse work site, the workers there assemble DNA kits, handle mailings, or strip wires. The company's president and CEO, Mary Kessens, has concerns that these center-based workshops could close because some say segregating workers with disabilities is discriminatory. The worry about closures stems from a lack of clarity from the federal government and the state. Medicaid rules regarding employment are changing. Elaine and Larry Hill's daughter found work through Riverfront, and they're concerned about the future, too. They join Mary Kessens, who starts the discussion by talking about the potential that Riverfront's work centers could be threatened by new government rules.
We're in the midst of a 30-day comment period on something called the Family Care Reauthorization, which the Wisconsin Department of Human Services has created an application to the federal government for Medicaid funds to support the services for people with disabilities and frail elderly. And that's the core issue right now. There's a 30-day comment period on that application, and the comment period ends September 2nd. That application is not clear about whether it supports services for people with disability in center-based employment. And the reason it's not clear is because we're waiting for guidance from the federal government on that. However, we haven't also heard conclusively that the Department of Human Services supports center-based services for people with disabilities. And this issue is also being driven by the Department of Justice in their interpretation of some legal action taken in a case commonly referred to as Olmstead, which required that people with disabilities be served in the least restrictive environment. And in some places, that's being interpreted as that they cannot be served in any sort of segregated or center-based employment or service situation like day service programs. We don't believe, and many states also are reacting to some of this pressure, that that's the correct interpretation of Olmstead. We believe that we need a variety of services for people with disabilities, that one size does not fit all. Many, many people are successful with a little bit of support in community-based settings. And Riverfront and organizations like Riverfront applaud and support those kinds of services. However, there is a population of people with disabilities, sometimes with profound disabilities, who potentially have serious behavior issues, who may need toileting or support in eating, that are best served in center-based employment. And the Hills are a great example. Their daughter has been served in a variety of settings that meet her need at a particular point in time, and that changes over time. If center-based services were not an option, we believe that people would be sent home to sit in front of television sets, and it would increase their isolation. That isolation could also lead to more issues, mental health or deterioration of health, and thereby you have higher medical bills, an increased risk of institutionalization. And certainly if they're living at home, caregivers also aren't able to work or contribute when they're caring for their loved one.
At its core, it seems like the issue is whether or not it's discriminatory to, I'm using this in quotes, isolate workers with disabilities to certain facilities, and you're waiting to hear whether or not a place like Riverfront would fall under that category, essentially?
Correct. Or how this – we're really interested in finding out how the state of Wisconsin what their position is in support of center-based services.
This comment period that's open right now, do you think that they're waiting to hear from the community and their thoughts on that before maybe crafting their position?
I hope so. It's hard to tell. I think they're in between a rock and a hard place sometimes. They're waiting for the federal government to issue their guidelines before responding. They're, I know, getting comments from lots of advocates who would like to eliminate center-based employment, and also comments from parents like the Hills who understand that that is a still a needed service.
And Larry and Elaine Hill, I want to bring you in. Your daughter has worked with Riverfront for many years. I'm wondering if you can talk about your family's experience with the organization and maybe what types of jobs she's had.
Okay. Michelle went to school at TC and then had a job in the community. And she got sick and couldn't work for a few months. And then when she was going to return, they did not want her back at where she was working. So, we were referred to Riverfront for help for her. And so she started over there, and she was getting training in the production area. And so she started working over there, and she was doing a good job. And then they were able to get her into the community. She works at the food co-op in La Crosse, and she also works at the CCLS office. So she has two part-time jobs now, and she just loves it. I mean, she over there, she feels really good about her work. Like, she keeps track of how many hangers she does and how many packages she does and everything. So it makes her feel really good that she has a job and that she's safe over there. She has a lot of friends, and she's met people through the community. In fact, she's gotten much more outgoing since she's been working in the community and everything. We were at a dinner with friends, and she wasn't sitting near us, and she was telling them that she works at the food co-op, and she proceeded to tell them all the products that she packages. And they were like, wow, we didn't know that they had any like that. So, I mean, she just fits in so well, you know, since she's had some experience working in the community. But she has job coaching, and she has, you know, she's secure because we have Riverfront people that are, you know, working with her and keeping an eye on her and everything. So, yeah, we've had really good experiences with her over there.
And Larry, can you talk a bit about how maybe it's made a difference in your family's life having Michelle working with Riverfront?
I certainly can. It's been a tremendous relief for us, knowing where Michelle was at one point in time, and then her becoming involved with Riverfront itself and the coaching and some of the life skills that she's been taught there have given us a sense of relief, knowing that Michelle is well taken care of and she's making a positive contribution to the community. And we're just tremendously happy with the results of what she has obtained living in a group home situation, as well as all the coaching that she receives and continues to receive at Riverfront. I guess our main concern with this issue is what would happen if, were this facility not available. I don't think Michelle would be capable of being totally productive and working, trying to work in a full-time job somewhere in the community without the coaching benefit that she now receives.
At this point in time, you mentioned the full-time aspect. Is she working part-time now, and then she goes to Riverfront and works with the job coaches?
She does work part-time at the co-op, I think,
two and a half hours a day, four days a week.
And she also works at CCLS in the afternoon on Wednesday after she finishes at the co-op, and she does some office cleaning and housekeeping chores for them there. Other than that, she's at Riverfront, and she also works in production there in addition to the day services.
And the program where she deals with job coaching and whatnot, can you talk a bit about that and maybe how the folks at Riverfront work with her and what she takes away from that also?
Well, they're very helpful. They teach her, and if she's having a problem, they'll work with her. And she gets more than just working experience. I mean, she gets the attention. She gets a lot of compliments, and she's always getting good support. And if she needs to talk to someone, there's always someone there to help her and to if she has a problem of any sort. And one thing that I think is really good of her being at Riverfront is that I feel like she's safer there because there is supervision and there is coaching, whereas if she was in the community, she would not have that. She'd be on her own. And Michelle's had a lot of bad experiences from being on her own, so I think it would be pretty devastating to her and to us if that ended.
You know, Michelle has moved on to other workplaces outside of Riverfront, but you said she's still there on a weekly basis. How important was it to have the center-based work environment when she first was reentering the job force?
I think it was extremely important because of the skills that she learned. And when she first became involved at Riverfront, she was kind of doing some standalone type jobs. And then as she noticed her peer groups working in production, then that gave her the incentive to, hey, I want to work on a production line. And she's really progressed from that point to where she now is doing part-time jobs in the community. But there's continuous coaching even when she's out in the community. And should she not have that coaching and was expected to work standalone-type work, I don't think she would be successful. I think it would really be a struggle for her. So, you know, she has progressed tremendously. She now has a secure environment to live in, a secure environment to work in. And she has realized that now her self-esteem that we see in her is just tremendous from what it was, where she was struggling, not appreciated. So now she really feels good about what she does. In fact, she has to share that with almost anyone she encounters.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about jobs for people with disabilities and centers that help them find employment and possible future issues with those centers. My guests are Elaine and Larry Hill, whose daughter Michelle has found work through Riverfront Inc. in La Crosse, and Mary Kessens. She's president and CEO of Riverfront Incorporated. Mary, you talked about your concerns with people who have severe disabilities who, as you said, maybe act out every now and then or maybe need help eating or going to the bathroom. If centers like Riverfront were closed, is there any hope that people who have those disabilities would be able to find work within the community?
I think there's always hope. And we pride ourselves on being expert at finding those opportunities for all people. But I think you can also understand that many employers would not want to provide those services to help people with toileting and eating and acting out behaviors. And in some cases, those are funded. And we've also seen many cases where people are defunded for those services because they are significant. So whether I do not believe that everyone will be able to find community-based employment, and that's why we need to continue to have center-based employment. You know, we have, as an example, we have one individual in one of our facilities who I frequently hear a story that he occasionally has acting out issues and he'll come in and overturn a table in our facility, in our production facility. Now, I doubt seriously whether too many employers would be able to support him and even with additional supports in a community-based setting. Now, we're working with him over time, but if...
You have the staff to do that, with the training to
correct.
Do so.
Correct. We have the staff and training to do that, but to say that he could immediately go to a job in the community, it's just not possible. So there's a wonderful ideal of every person with disabilities having a community-based job, and we believe that's an ideal and that's what we work for. But being a realist, I think there's still a need for a variety of services.
Are there any sort of legal requirements either by an employer or by the state to provide a caregiver or an assistant to work with people with disabilities within a workplace?
The ADA requires that employers provide adaptations to assist people with a disability in performing their job. However, there are limitations on that. Employers, I'm not the expert on the ADA, but there is a limit. Employers are required to do some things within the course of their business, but it doesn't really include things like toileting and assisting with eating.
I mean, at this point in time, I know you're all waiting for the rules to be crafted by the federal and the state government, but is there a chance that a place like Riverfront could close down?
Yes. There's no – in the authorizations of family care, the worst-case scenario is there would be a five-year transition period to determine that places like Riverfront would not be suitable as a place to provide services. That's the language that's being used. And during that time period, there would have to be an effort made, I think, to provide community-based employment to as many people as possible. But we would not be able to employ people with disabilities in the same fashion should this action be taken. And I think that would lead to the closures of many centers. I don't know yet what would happen at Riverfront. It could very likely be that we would be required to close our production facilities. But we would have to assess that and see if there were some other way we could support it with external dollars. And those scenarios are yet to be developed.
How many workers with disabilities are at the production facility on any given day?
Throughout our production facilities, we support about 175 people.
And then in the individual work sites then?
Oh, we support about 340 people in community-based employment.
Throughout Wisconsin or in the La Crosse area?
Just in our service areas.
Okay.
There are about 6,500 people, according to the best statistics I could find, in center-based employment statewide.
Okay. So if a place like Riverfront did have to close down, and as you said, this could happen at centers across the state, what sort of impact would that have within our community here in La Crosse?
I think the impact would be on an individual level. I think that in the La Crosse area, that's maybe about 100 people. And they definitely would not be able to be working in our production facility for as many hours or maybe not at all. I think community-based employment would be very difficult for them, and at the very best case, their hours might be reduced if we could find community-based employment. And then a significant number of those people would just be sent home either to their families or to adult family homes where they reside.
And Elaine and Larry Hill, what sort of difference would this make within your own family?
Well, I had a question on that, too, like what would happen with Michelle if they did close, because since there's job coaching at the food co-op, I don't know that Michelle would be able to continue to work there. And at CCLS, she works just a couple hours a week, and I don't know how that would work either, but she would probably have to stay home and watch TV and sleep and take walks because she wouldn't have a job. And I can't imagine if she was able to get a job in the community, a full-time job, that she would be able to survive that environment, because everyone is not acceptable of disabled people. You know, they look down on them, and you know, that's not a way for them to have to live. And over here, they at least have people that understand them, and they have peers that, you know, have difficulties also, and they're considerate to each other. So I think it'd be devastating to her.
And I imagine it would affect the both of you as well.
Yes, it would. It would, I think, disturb us tremendously, not knowing or having her at home. and her not being taken care of, her not being productive, her not being part of feeling good about doing what she does within the community. I would also like to add that we both observed what happens in that production facility at Riverfront. And if you were ever there and saw what takes place, it's tremendous. It gives you such a good feeling to see these folks there working together, actually doing something that they feel productive about and making a positive contribution. And all of a sudden, if we took that away from them, that's, to me, like society just discarding our disabled once again. And I don't think we need to be doing that.
Yeah. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about jobs for people with disabilities and potential changes coming to centers that help them find employment. My guests are Elaine and Larry Hill, whose daughter Michelle has found work through Riverfront Inc. in La Crosse, and Mary Kessens. She's president and CEO of Riverfront Incorporated. Mary, you serve people in Wisconsin and Minnesota also. Is there any sort of difference between the two states, and or is it just because Riverfront's based in Wisconsin that those are the rules you have to follow?
Mm-hmm. The politics are different in Minnesota, and most of the people we serve in Minnesota are not people with developmental and intellectual disabilities. We have a mental health clinic there. And they have addressed this issue with what they call an Olmstead plan. And
Minnesota has?
Yeah, Minnesota has. And it's a little different in Wisconsin because of family care. So what we're going through now is a different political situation than it was in Minnesota.
One question I've always had regarding workers with disabilities is the pay issue. How certain workers, they're paid less for a variety of reasons. I'm wondering if you can just explain that practice to people and whether or not that issue has anything to do with this discussion going on.
Yes. It's called wage determination, and it's a part of the labor law, sometimes called 14C, and it allows...
Federal labor law?
Mm-hmm, correct. And it allows certified facilities who go through a significantly regulated process to determine what is the prevailing wage and the piece rate for a variety of work. And it allows us then to pay people a piece rate for the work that they are able to do. So subsequently, with most of the people in our facilities are paid based on their productivity. The average productivity in our Riverfront production facilities is less than 10%. And the reason it's so low is because we have been successful in placing so many people in community-based jobs that the folks who are left are folks who have some significant challenges or need special services. So that's the essence of the wage determination law. It allows people with disabilities an opportunity to work and businesses to pay them based on their productivity. I think if you think about community-based businesses, if the folks who currently work in our production facilities were less than 10% productive, a business would have a very difficult time of paying them either their prevailing wage or even minimum wage, if that's their productivity. So because we're certified and we have to check our rates every 6 months and adjust them accordingly, we're able to allow people to work under that situation.
Is that issue one of the issues behind maybe these potential changes at all? Or?
I think that's another issue.
Sure. Sure.
Related. Many people believe that individuals with disabilities should be paid at least minimum wage, no matter what their productivity is. So those comments are out there. But again, if you're a realist and people have less than 10% productivity, it would be very difficult for a business to pay someone a minimum or prevailing wage when the person sitting next to them was not not producing that same level. So it doesn't exactly encourage community-based employment.
And Larry, you were nodding your head.
Yes, I agree with what she says. And you got to think about the impact of someone that is not capable of working in the community, working in a production facility such as Riverfront, and actually receiving a wage. That's extremely important to them. It gives them something of value. Hey, look, I'm being paid for doing, and I feel productive. And that's a tremendous feeling on an individual's part, I think.
So I'm wondering at this point in time, what is it that you hope people will do and maybe will take with this information?
Mm-hmm. I hope that people will go to the riverfrontinc.org website, and there are links on there to the place where you can comment to our Wisconsin Department of Human Service, and additionally send letters to the governor or your state representatives regarding the family care reauthorization. So the thing to remember is the riverfrontinc.org website, and you'll find links there to be able to comment on this, the family care reauthorization.
And Elaine and Larry, I'm wondering if you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
Well, I hope that, like Mary asked, that people will contact their elected officials and let everyone know how important this is, because it will be a major change for a lot of people.
We're just recently made aware of this, and we have in turn have written letters to our representatives as well as the Department of Health. And we certainly encourage other parents to get involved and become advocates for their children.
And Mary, any final thoughts from you on this issue?
The comment period is only open until September 2nd, so it's urgent that people actually take action now. And again, if they want more information, they can contact Riverfront. And please comment, as Larry said, to legislators, the governor, and the Department of Human Service, or any of those that people are willing to contact.
Mary Kessens is the president and CEO of Riverfront Incorporated. She was joined by Elaine and Larry Hill, whose daughter Michelle works at Riverfront. They're concerned about potential changes to federal and state government rules that they believe could lead to the closure of center-based workshops for workers with disabilities. People can comment on the changes through September 2nd. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. While organizations like Riverfront are waiting for clarification on potential changes to center-based workshops, the state of Wisconsin is waiting on the federal government. Department of Health Services Secretary Kitty Rhodes explains the situation that the state is in right now.
The program that we operate, Family Care, is allowed to do so by the virtue of a waiver with the federal government. The waiver has to be renewed every 5 years. During that five-year period, it is possible that the federal government can change the rules of the Medicaid program. And they have, and that's exactly what's happening. The CMS, which is the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, develops the rules of the program. They also provide roughly 60% of the state's funding of the program, and the state pays the other 40%. So you have to be in compliance in order to get the payment. And so there are many rules that are different than they were when we filed the waiver 5 years ago. The CMS statement says that we have 5 years to transition our current programs into compliance with the existing programs. And what it does not say is what are the rules when it comes to employment. It says that there will be changes, but it doesn't say what. So therefore, we can't put out a plan that says here is how we will comply because we don't know what the rules are.
So what direction would you like to see the state
I want to do this compendium of care, and I've outlined it in the letter to CMS, mm-hmm. and it puts choice. The individual, the managed care organization that's involved in family care develops a care plan with a complete interdisciplinary team. And in that care plan, we'll address, do I want to try and seek integrated employment or not? And we want to make sure that we ask that. Then if the answer is yes, if it takes me 5 years to learn how to wipe off a table, so be it. So be it. As long as the goal is I'm eventually going to work in the community. If you get in the community and it doesn't work out, that means we put you in the wrong place. Come on, let's retrain for a different skill. But let's keep going. If I'm a long-term workshop participant. I don't want to go anyplace else. Okay, fine. But you're not getting pre-vocational training, so you don't get the pre-vocational payment. You get a different payment.
And what could that different payment be?
To be determined.
Kitty Rhodes is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we'll talk about efforts to hire more people with disabilities in the state of Wisconsin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to Riverfront, where you can get more information about how to weigh in on this issue. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. According to 2012 data from the U.S. Census Bureau, there are 20 million residents with disabilities living in the United States. Of that, 6.5 million people are employed. That's an employment rate of almost 33%. South Dakota has the highest disabled employment rate at 52%, and West Virginia has the lowest at 24%. Residents with disabilities in Wisconsin are employed at a rate of 37.5%. The state of Wisconsin has been trying to improve that statistic this year, starting a number of initiatives to help residents with disabilities get a job. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis talked with Wisconsin Department of Health Services Secretary Kitty Rhodes and Wayne Ellefson of La Crosse, who owns Advertising Concepts and employs many people who are disabled. Ellefson talks about his decision to hire people with disabilities.
I've always wanted to be able to help unfortunate people that have disabilities. And when the opportunity came, Riverfront approached me. And we have jobs in my business that are not that strenuous, but it's repetitive. And it sounded like a good fit at the time. So we brought one in, and it worked good. So then at times, depending on the job loads, we've had as many as 5 or 6, and they've done a good job each time. We've got 2 full-time they work part-time, but they've been on for a year, 2 years. One's 2 years. So he's a janitor, but he does an excellent job. I mean, you couldn't get a better person as far as keeping a place clean.
Right.
And he knows what he wants, and he's dedicated. So I think that's what it just worked out for us.
What types of jobs other than the janitor do you have people doing?
Well, the janitor office does his janitorial, cleaning windows and everything. But then we do a lot of buttons. Like you wear for like festivals and stuff. We have a big button shop, so we do a lot of buttons. And what we did is one big, huge national client had to have them counted 100 per color in a bag for a total of 500 per bag of 5 different colors. Well, we just made up a nice board, put 20 circles on it that was easy to count, and we had big boxes of the buttons in each color, and they just took out 20, put them in a bag, 20. So that was one good job we did. And then one of them could actually run the button-making machines because they're automatic machines. So we kind of raised up the desk that the machines are sitting on so she'd get her wheelchair up under there. That worked out great for her. And then we do silk screening and embroidery in-house. That's where you're putting the shirts on. Well, we have big dryers where the shirts come off the end. So, like right now, one's at work today doing that. So you sit there and take the shirts off the end and fold them up nice and neat.
Okay. Could you talk a little bit about what the state has been pursuing the last year or so when it comes to people with disabilities and employment?
Governor Walker, at the beginning of the year in his State of State address, said that this was going to be the year of building a better bottom line. And that means that we are really attempting to focus on getting people with disabilities into employment in the community and having businesses understand that this is a very good business decision. It's not an act of charity. And we also want them to ensure that we are reaching out to kids while they're still in school. You know, we developed the school-to-work program in the 90s, and we talked to able-bodied kids, but we didn't talk to every kid. We should be talking to them about what do you want to be when you grow up, and how do we help get that training for you. We really want the kids to understand, all kids, that they have choices, because we all know the goal for everybody is they want to be independent, and they want to be just like everybody else. So we started that program of talking to the kids in grade 7, working with the Department of Public Instruction, and also working to ensure that their parents understand they don't necessarily lose all of their health benefits if and when their child goes to work. We explain how it all works. We then also did a pilot project called Let's Get to Work, and it's placing kids, school-age kids with disabilities in community-based employment during the summer. It's been very successful and very interesting. The pilots in the rural school districts outperformed the metro school districts. So that kind of debunks the myth that we can't make this work in rural Wisconsin. Yeah, we can. We just have to get creative. We also then do Project Search, where kids who are entering their senior year actually take their class at a work site. There's a teacher there who helps teach them the life skills that they need, but they then also work through actual training sites of real jobs, working next to able-bodied people, gaining the skills that they will need then to take that into employment elsewhere or with the group with which they are going through Project Search. And that has been incredibly successful. The governor made the commitment that we will be adding 20 more sites all around the state, training kids in hospitality, restauranting, medical hospitals, a variety of different sites, giving kids the choices that they have and what they need. We also then have worked up with DVR through another federal grant called Promise. This is focusing on the older student and looking at his whole situation, like is anybody in the household working? What other services are needed? Not only coming in and helping the child get the services that they need, but wrapping around and helping take care of the whole family to move the whole family forward. This is really, again, on the give a hand up, not a handout. And we're really excited about all the opportunities. And it's important to note from an employer's perspective that when surveyed, about 87% of the people surveyed said they would be more likely to patronize a business if they knew they hired the disabled. That's a great incentive for business owners. Get your foot traffic up. You also look at if you take into account that roughly one out of every five Americans has some type of disability, if you use that number for Wisconsin and take into account the disabled, their friends, and their family, they're looking at like a $3 trillion customer base. It makes good business sense here to be interacting with the disabled.
Wayne, from your perspective as a business owner, is it good for business?
I think so. Like I say, we don't have a real lot of traffic like a retail operation would have, but we do have quite a bit of foot traffic. And when they do, I think, yeah, it makes a positive impact, on that bottom line, because they see that, you're trying to help somebody that may not be able to find a job that fits them when we can find them that, like I say, that does fit.
You've not seen a stigma from either a coworker or, a customer that you have somebody with a disability working for you.
No, absolutely not. Like I say, the other employees, I have a few other employees, and they all get along good. Especially, like I say, because we've been very fortunate to get ones that are, can communicate good, and whether in a wheelchair or whatever their disability is, they can communicate. And like I say, the fellow workers, I think I actually enjoy having them there.
Mm-hmm. And Wayne puts out a really good point. Just like able body, we need to ensure that we have these individuals in the right setting, doing the right job for what they're capable and what they're interested in. But we have found, like in the project search setting, the business had to close because they had a blizzard. And the kids who were in the project search called and said, but can we come anyway? You know, they are so dedicated. They really want to make you proud. And so it's a great opportunity to make sure that we're giving all of our Wisconsin residents choices so that everybody has the same choices as everybody else to be independent based off what they want and what they're able to do.
Kitty Rhodes, what is the state's goal for getting the disabled employment?
Personally, we don't have a number because then that's kind of not making them have the choice. It's making sure that our goal is that every individual has had a choice, that we've discussed what are you able to do, what do you want to do, and where do you want to do it. That's what we need to ensure is happening, and let the people decide, not me making them fit into some mold.
You've mentioned some of the programs, Kitty, that the state has. Are there a number of programs that help the disabled seek employment or, you know, identify what they want to do in life?
Yeah, and, you know, we do on our state website in the Department of Health list what we have, and that's part of what the Wisconsin Promise is doing. DWD has some, DVR has some. They all have a little bit different focus depending on are you an adult, are you in a child, what your income level is, et cetera. And a secondary goal is to make this a lot easier to find the services that are available. But feel free to check the Department of Health Services to find the ones that we are using in our program that we've been discussing today.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking about the issue of hiring someone with a disability. Our guests include Wisconsin Department of Health Services Secretary Kitty Rhodes and an employer from the La Crosse area who employs someone with a disability. Wayne Ellison is owner of Advertising Concepts. Wayne, do you seek out help from the state or, in your case, you talk to Riverfront? How does that work?
They have a good program. They come in and they look at what I need the employees for. Because like Kitty said, that's, I think, is a key. You know, you got to get somebody that will fit what the demands are. And they do a good job of that. They send their guy in and he looks it over and they show him what we're going to do. And usually they'll pay part of their wages for the first few weeks on a job shadowing program, too, to make sure they can do the jobs. And then after that, then we put them on ourselves. But that way there you can see if they can handle it without, again, affecting the bottom line on the business and find out they're not going to fulfill what I need them to do.
And on the other hand, you know, that's the important part, the training part, is make sure then that we get them in the right setting.
Yep.
When someone says, you know, this just didn't work, that's usually not because the individual can't work. It's because we had the wrong place or the wrong skill.
Exactly.
So that's why we really need to make sure that we're talking about it with the individual and building not only their health care plan but their work care plan individually based off what they can and want to do.
Exactly, Kitty.
Wayne, are you limited in the type of disability you can take in an employee?
Nope, not in any
not
way.
Not at all.
As long as they're capable of doing it. And, of course, like you said, they do a good job of evaluating and making sure they can do it.
And, you know, I absolutely agree. When the disabled are in the training program, I don't care if it takes 10 years, as long as the goal is getting them into the community employment of their choice. And if it takes long, it takes a while, but let's get them in the right place based off what they can and what they want.
People with disabilities are, you know, just like anybody else, they have different challenges, be it physical, cognitive. You know, they might need some help, you know, around the bathroom or something like that.
Yep.
And you're set up for any and all.
Yep, and just a couple little modifications, like say, to make their jobs work for them that they're comfortable is all usually, you know, and we're all set up for them. It isn't a lot of work to be set up for them either. as an employer. I mean, it didn't cost me a lot of money to make the jobs work for them.
Kitty, are more and more employers starting to take a look like Wayne is doing in his business and saying it does make sense?
Yeah, there are. And I think a lot of it is because we're actually educating the employer community as well. And really by saying, this isn't charity. You know, this is real opportunities in a talent pool, which we haven't addressed before. And so many are like, you know what, yeah, I can do this. And so it's making that connection and actually reaching out to them, maybe even like holding employer conferences or summits to say, look, here's what we can do, here's how it works for you as the employer, and this is why it helps you build a better bottom line.
Kitty, as you're aware now, employment has been a big issue not only in Wisconsin but across the country with the unemployment rate the way it has been for a long time. Coming down gradually, but probably not fast enough for a lot of people. Why start an effort like this in the middle of high unemployment times?
It's equal opportunity for everybody. And we should be addressing all talent pools, and every American has the right to choose work.
Is that one of the big things people with disabilities bump up against is never knowing if they're getting that equal opportunity, I guess?
You know, in my hometown school district, we don't teach welding. So therefore, we don't have any kids, hardly, very few, who choose the career of welding. They've never seen it, and they don't know it. If I don't know what my choices are, I'm limited just by not knowing what my choices are.
Wayne, what are the biggest challenges for your business in hiring somebody with a disability?
Well, John, I don't think there's too many challenges, like I say. And Kitty, it sounds like they got such good programs because she hit on one thing. I never thought of it as charity. You know, I needed somebody to fill a job position. These people are capable of filling that job position. So it wasn't a charity decision. And there really isn't much challenges because, like I say, as long as Kitty sounds like they're doing such a good job at the state now of making sure the right person's for the right job. Because as she said, it isn't that they can't do work, it just can't do certain jobs. Just make sure in the right position and that everybody's happy.
What about wages for somebody with a disability? Are they any different than you would offer to somebody who didn't have a disability?
They're about equal, especially depending, I suppose, on where the job classifications are at. And like my classifications, they're paid about the same as any other employee. But I'm on different type of factory settings, it might be a different situation. I don't know. But in mine, it's about the same as I would start anybody else at. They make the same wages.
Kitty, is that pretty much true across the board in Wisconsin?
Oh, it varies depending on, you know, some of the disabled that we put in employment need a little bit more support than others. So then, you know, every salary reimbursement is kind of based off that. Our biggest goal, or personally my biggest goal, is to get the individual into the workforce so that they can move up and earn a higher income, just like the opportunities we all have.
How successful the state's efforts in the last year been?
Well, we've only been at this full force measurement since January, but the graduation project search have been very successful. The things that we have been able to measure have indicated that we are getting great turnout, and particularly like with that Let's Get to Work pilot program, where we were actually able during the summer school to prove that rural communities can participate in this as well. That's a huge mythbuster. Even that, just taking away that veil and saying this can work for every individual if we give them the choice. That's a huge step forward.
Is there anything else that either of you would like to add?
Well, just that I'm glad I hired people with disabilities because, like I said, they do a good job. And I've made a couple of good friends by hiring them. And going back to why I hired disability, I got to, I suppose, make an admission is I was in special ed through all of middle school with a speech problem and stuff, and I was in special ed classes and stuff like that, and I went on to conquer that. So as Kitty said, you got to give them the opportunity to get out there and put them to work, and I think they'll achieve their goals too then. So I guess that's it.
Is Wayne's a common story for employers to embrace this?
I think Wayne is a really good example of the fact that so many American families have a connection to someone with disabilities, that this is just the right thing to do because they're a valued part of our population.
Kitty Rhodes is secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and Wayne Ellefson owns Advertising Concepts of La Crosse. They spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis about the movement to hire more residents with disabilities in Wisconsin. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.